Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Tuesday, October 22nd, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth. The kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things started with...
The Daily Datagram.
Yep, words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. Good one here, too. No answer is also an answer. True. And it's also the most unnerving kind of an answer that you're likely to receive.
I request the cone of silence.
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Oh, boy.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
I bet.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same, you need to know your Twisted History.
All right.
You might be quizzed.
Well, kids, it was on this day in 1895 in Paris, an express train derailed after overrunning the buffer stop, crossing almost 100 feet of concourse before crashing through a wall and falling 33 feet to the road below. The news photo of the aftermath became iconic. In fact, for a time during the 1960s, it was a poster. In fact, it could be the poster today of the Kamala Harris campaign. And it was on this day in 1934 in the thriving metropolis of East Liverpool, Ohio. FBI agents shot and killed notorious bank robber Pretty Boy Floyd. And he wasn't very pretty after that. I guess you could say he was profusely perforated.
And the hits just keep on coming.
Tell me you didn't see this coming. A group of about 2,000 migrants left Mexico's southern border Sunday, hoping to reach the country's north and ultimately our country, the United States of America. And this development comes weeks, just weeks now, before the presidential election, in which immigration has been a key issue. Now, you'd have to have been living under a rock. Regardless of where your original country is, not to know that this immigration issue is going to be tackled by a Trump administration. So naturally, there is a new push on the part of migrants to get to the United States before the election. Never mind the promise that Donald Trump has made about massive deportations. I guess these people are coming to the United States with the idea in mind that they would rather have a limited time in the United States than none at all. It's quite an endorsement for this country, but it's certainly not good for Americans. Now, some migrants, like a Venezuelan that the Associated Press talked to, a fellow by the name of Joel Zambrano, believe a new administration could put an end to asylum appointments through an online system called CBP-1. And he's quoted as saying, they say this could change because they could both close the CBP-1 appointment and all the services that are helping migrants. So you would be justified in asking the hypothetical question, are they coming here for opportunity, or are they coming here for the freebies? Probably both. I mean, when you get to this point, what difference does it make, right? So both the lack of jobs in Mexico's south due to a new wave of incoming foreigners, because they have the same problem down here that we have up here, and the other side of that coin, a delay in asylum appointments in the United States, have motivated more groups of migrants to leave the region during the past month. Now, the group leaving Sunday was the third and largest since the beginning of the administration of new Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum, who so far has made no changes in immigration policies established by her predecessor, Andrés Manuel López Obrador. So you've got groups of 800 and 600 migrants that left the region earlier in October. Activist Luis García Villagran estimates about 40,000 migrants are currently stranded in southern Mexico. Not a pretty picture. Stranded in southern Mexico. That's not a good system, not a good situation for either the migrants or the country of Mexico. I mean, you look at the problems we have up here, which are, wow, overwhelming. And whatever we're dealing with here, it's far worse down in Mexico. And these people who are in limbo right now, and I can't help but feel some compassion for these people. I'm like, thank you, Lord, that I'm not one of those people. But these people have the same aims in life that you and I have. They want to provide for their family, their loved ones. Some have no family. They're just trying to look out for themselves, trying to get a meal. And this is a problem that has been exacerbated immeasurably. I'll use that word, immeasurably exacerbated by the Biden administration. When Joe Biden just opened up the borders the way he did, he put our country in jeopardy. He put millions and millions of individuals, millions and millions of human beings in jeopardy. But where it comes to the needs and the dangers now facing our country, Joe Biden should be charged with treason because he has thrown all protections for this country to the wind. And for that, the man should be prosecuted. He should be put away. But you see, now the attitude is, well, he's so old, he's going to croak any day now, so why bother? Why bother indeed? One day after Nevada began in-person early voting, the results were already pretty striking, with Republicans outnumbering Democrats roughly 2-1. Actual numbers, 22,284 to 11,854 at early voting locations across Nevada. And this is according to statistics from Nevada's Secretary of State. Now, it's a pattern that held even in the state's most populous county, Clark County, where 14,750 Republicans turned out compared to 9,146 Democrats. Makes you wonder if maybe Democrats are looking at Kamala Harris and saying, I'm not even going to bother to vote. Now, at a voting site in Henderson, on October 19th, one person who showed up when the doors opened was still waiting to vote more than an hour later. The lines are huge. They're just absolutely mind-bendingly long. And Nevadans' passion was pretty clear from interviews with our friends over at the Epoch Times. And a Harris voter by the name of Ken Gordon, he says, if Kamala wins, which she can, I'll probably cry. And if the other guy wins, I'll probably cry. Don't know what that man's problem is, but I'll bet it's pretty hard to pronounce. And I don't know. Trump voter Christine Gordon, unrelated to Ken, said, it's not about me. It's about my grandkids and their kids. And she was accompanied by her granddaughter, Krista Hill, who also voted for Trump. Now, early voting wasn't easy in some parts of sprawling Clark County, which includes everything from the synthetic paradise of the Strip to the mobile homes of what they call the Cal-Neve-Erie area, named for its location. You know, it's over there in that convergence of California, Nevada, and Arizona. Okay, you look it up on a map, it's just a real small little point right there. Well, south of Cal-Neve-Erie along Route 95, early voting wasn't yet available in Searchlight, the town of Searchlight, with a thriving metropolis that has become at 445 people. So it's going to be possible to cast a ballot in the Searchlight Community Center on October 25th, Friday, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And on the morning of October 20th, it was like every similar site in the state closed. Now, further south is another thriving metropolis. A little bigger place, Laughlin, which has its own mini strip along the Colorado River. a bridge length away from Arizona, the town's public library, which will host voting on Election Day and October 30th through November 1st, was also closed. So you go west of Vegas on a bridge overlooking the Hoover Dam, you know, that bridge, the big one. The start of early voting on October 19th seemed a world away. You had tourists from across the country and around the world, actually, that had come to marvel at the Hoover Dam. That's the dam that created Lake Mead. It's a huge reservoir. And it's right in the middle of the, well, not the middle, but it's in the Mojave Desert. I've been there. It's amazing. If you ever get to the Hoover Dam, pay the $25 and go on the hard hat tour. It's really interesting. So anyhow, you had Peter and Karina Michelle, who were visiting from Nuremberg, Germany. And like people all over the planet, they were very aware of the United States' ongoing presidential election. I mean, we never have an election here in the States that doesn't get the attention of world news. And Peter said, when asked about the start of early voting in Nevada, he says, I hope the American people think about facts. And one thing that really struck them was the scale of obesity in America. Yeah, it strikes me too. He said, we were at a McDonald's and there was no water to drink. He sounded skeptical about Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s pledge to make America healthy again as part of a possible future Trump administration. He said, German newspaper stories about Mr. Kennedy are not positive. Well, no, because it's just like here in the States. All of Germany's newspapers and magazines are very left-wing. So the state has already sent out, state of Nevada sent out 1.9 million ballots with 601,823 going to Democrats, 576,399 to Republicans, and the remaining 815,784 to unaffiliated or other voters. And that area, that group right there, unaffiliated or other voters, are going to be the ones who are going to swing this election. Now, as of October 20th, Sunday, a narrow plurality of accepted ballots came from Republicans, with 13,418 compared to 13,050 for Democrats. Another 9,226 came from the other category. To further illustrate my assertion that Joe Biden should be charged with treason, we have a disturbing trend emerging in, of all places, New York City's Times Square. Under the days of Rudy Giuliani, Times Square was an amazing, iconic place that visitors wanted to see because of all the neon signs, the digital giant photographs and advertisements, and all of the big broadcasting companies were had showcase studios there in Times Square. Not so anymore. Times Square has returned to its old sleaziness of the early 1960s. NYPD has reported that armed migrant children, listen to this, some as young as 11, are just bringing havoc to the area. Many of these kids are allegedly staying at the government-funded Roosevelt Hotel, which has been turned into a shelter for migrants. Authorities claim these kids are part of violent gangs, including the notorious Trendy Aragua from Venezuela. Now, the Roosevelt Hotel is funded by federal programs as part of the Biden administration's initiative to house migrants, and it's become a hub for criminal activity in New York City. Reports indicate that these armed thugs, these young migrants, are involved in thefts, attacks on both locals and tourists, and violent encounters with law enforcement. In other words, things are just totally out of control. And the border is still open. You understand that while these pundits, particularly the mainstream media pundits and leftist politicians, keep screaming that, well, the Republicans won't pass a law You don't need a law to close the border. All it takes is just an executive order from the sitting president to shut the border down. You could shut the border down this minute, but there's no resolve to do so. Now, just last month, an altercation escalated when a group of migrants residing at the Roosevelt attacked two NYPD officers. You may remember this. Now, these officers were just attempting to control the disorderly group that had assembled there in Times Square. According to law enforcement, several suspects have been arrested, and viral videos of these attacks have angered a lot of people. I guess it would be fair to say sparked a nationwide outrage, because in one instance, a brawl resulted in injuries to NYPD officers, with migrants pushing and kicking them to the ground. We saw it on video. It makes your blood boil. And multiple suspects have been arraigned in court, including members of Trendyaragua, or TDA as we call them, which has fully infiltrated the migrant population in New York City. Some suspects, like Kelvin Servita Arroca and Darwin Andres Gomez Ezequiel, face some pretty hefty bail charges. I guess maybe judges there are starting to plunk down some huge bail amounts on these thugs. And usually what brings that on, if a judge sees that the suspect is affiliated with one of these gangs and has also already had several previous charges, well, then they lock him up and throw away the key, so to speak. So Mayor Eric Adams, love him or hate him, the poor guy, has voiced his concerns over and over and over again over the escalating violence, and he's pledged to hold these individuals accountable, but critics argue that the city's sanctuary policies, coupled with the federal government's handling of the migrant crisis, have exacerbated the situation. Now, conservatives have been quick to point out that these incidents highlight the dangers of unchecked immigration and the growing risks to public safety in cities like New York, but not just limited to big cities. I mean, there are incidents happening all over the country, both urban and rural, where these illegal aliens, let's call them what they are, these illegal aliens are committing crimes. Sometimes they do it out of desperation. But when you have a situation where you have these kids affiliated with a gang, well, they have to constantly prove their loyalty to the gang by going out and committing crimes. And the crimes aren't limited to just one kind of crime. Sure, it involves theft, mugging, that sort of thing. Some cases, physical assault, but in others, murder. So while federal funding for housing these migrants was initially seen as a humanitarian effort, critics are now coming to the forefront, and they see it as a catalyst for increasing crime in one of the nation's busiest and most iconic areas, right there in beautiful downtown Times Square. And as the NYPD continues to deal with these violent incidents, you have a lot of people calling for stronger border policies and a more robust response to the migrant surge. But we've been calling for that for 3.5 years, to no avail. Now, the Roosevelt Hotel, once a symbol of New York's grandeur, has now become synonymous with chaos. And you got law enforcement frequently being called to the scene to deal with violent altercations on a daily basis. And many of the migrants housed at this hotel have been linked to street crimes in Times Square and other parts of Manhattan, creating tension between residents, tourists, and the newly arrived populations. I really feel sorry for the residents. I mean, they feel incredibly unsafe. So the ongoing crisis has drawn national attention, of course, international attention, actually, especially as violent incidents continue to rise. And not only do the incidents increase in numbers, They're also increasing in severity. So conservative leaders are using this as a rallying cry for stricter immigration policies and greater accountability for federal programs that house immigrants. I mean, you've got some migrant children now armed and involved in gang activities. We're talking minors. The situation in New York's Times Square has become a flashpoint, and that's what we've needed. We have needed a flashpoint that everybody in America can point to and say, oh yeah? Well, look at Times Square. Because this broader debate over immigration and public safety is going to be coming to a head very soon, and it's going to come to a head in the polling place. As if the high incidence of illegal entries into our country isn't enough, the United States is seeing repeated entries from deported illegal aliens. A twice-deported Honduran immigrant now faces 37 years in prison for orchestrating a burglary ring. Yeah, the guy's name is Sergio Cardenas Salinas. He was arrested and sentenced for leading a criminal organization. Now, the burglary ring targeted Collin County's Middle Eastern, Asian, and South Asian communities, Collin County, Texas. This is in North Texas. Now, Sergio Cardenas Salinas, he's a 30-year-old Honduran national, and he was sentenced to 37 years for leading a sophisticated, well-organized burglary operation in North Texas. The conviction follows a series of home invasions targeting specific ethnic communities in Collin County between July 16th and September 5th of 2023. Now, Cardenas Salinas, who had already been deported twice, orchestrated a criminal network that targeted the homes of Middle Eastern, South Asian, and Asian residents. And the group, which included people from Guatemala, Honduras, and Venezuela, intended to steal gold, jewelry, and cash from these homes. Now understand that immigrant families now living in the United States and working toward their citizenship bring with them their cultures. And what a lot of people don't know is that many of your Asian immigrants who are now living in the United States working toward their citizenship don't believe in banks the way we do. So a lot of them have jewelry in their homes, assuming that that's a safe thing to do, which of course it isn't. And you're going to find things like gold, jewelry, and a lot of cash in a lot of these homes. So that makes these people particularly vulnerable, because these gang leaders, these burglary gang leaders, they understand this. Now, Plano is a town just north of Dallas. In fact, it used to be when you would drive from Dallas to Plano, you drove from Dallas several miles across open land before arriving in Plano. But now you just drive from Dallas through a couple of master plan communities alongside Highway 75, and boom, you're there in Plano. There's not that great separation anymore. It's a boom town, that whole area up there. The Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex is just booming. And it brings with that boom, of course, a lot of people from other countries. And they bring with them their customs of hiding money under their pillow, under their mattress, in their dresser drawer. Well, the Plano Police Department led the investigation that ultimately bagged this gang led by Cardenas Salinas. And authorities discovered a vehicle linked to the suspects, which led to the arrest of 9 people. Cardenas Salinas was identified as the ringleader and in charge of deciding which homes to target and how to distribute the stolen goods. So the conviction of Cardenas Salinas represents a big victory for law enforcement, of course, in their fight against organized crime. And every time they bag somebody, particularly one of the underlings, they gain more information on how these crimes are carried out, how they're planned, who they target, why they target certain people. So it calls into question the efficacy of current immigration policies, of course, and border security measures, such as they are these days. Cardenas Salinas pleaded guilty to the charges. And as I mentioned earlier, he faces up to life in prison. Well, I didn't mention that part, but he got he was sentenced to 37 years behind bars. Could get life. Now, this decision takes into account his criminal history, which includes a prior conviction for attempted deadly conduct, for which he already served 6 months in state prison. Now, Collin County is right now ground zero. And the district attorney up there in Collin County, Greg Willis, says, Collin County will not tolerate criminal, illegal aliens targeting our law-abiding citizens. You know, they're serious about that stuff here in Texas. We really are. And the case has drawn attention to the ongoing challenges faced by law enforcement and immigration officials in dealing with repeat offenders who re-enter the country illegally. And of course, it underscores the need for a comprehensive approach to both border security and criminal justice to prevent this kind of organized criminal activity, which is on the increase, not just in Texas. It's happening next door in New Mexico, and next door to them in Arizona. It's happening in California. And it's just a matter of what state you live in as to what the odds are that you personally will become one of these victims. Probably less likely in Texas than it is in very liberal New Mexico or California. Let's head on over to the Comedy Corner and the very funny Paul Morrissey.
Well, I woke up a couple weeks ago, had a bruise on my side, didn't run into anything, didn't get hit by anything, just got a bruise from supporting my own weight at night, apparently. Sleeping is too much for me at this point. This might be my last show, is what I'm telling you, folks. So, but I based my whole life on ice cream, as any normal person would. Yeah, you don't have to be shy. There's a couple people pretending like this crap behind me, but no, ice cream is the real deal. I base everything in my life. My favorite kind of ice cream is called Neapolitan, which if you don't know, Neapolitan is an Italian word that means two good flavors, one disgusting one. You hear that sound? That's a room divided by a strawberry is what that is. But you know the correct answer. Strawberry is the correct answer. Go with your guts. I don't know anything about religion, politics. I hope you're not looking for any guidance. I don't have any. The only two things I know, number one, strawberry ice cream sucks. And number two, math is make-believe. Now, I know that second one makes me sound stupid, but is there any math teachers here? That's what I thought. They're all wizards. It's sorcery as far as I'm concerned. Go back to Hogwarts with that crap. No, this isn't for dumb people. I'm not an idiot. There's a certain amount of math. There's addition, subtraction. But you remember you get around like 7th, 8th grade. They just started making stuff up, you know? I'll tell you how you knew. When you got into class, you went in there, and it was just all... They stopped using numbers in math. Anybody remember that? You just go in there, it's all letters. They were like, A plus B equals C, Paul. I think it's done. I don't know. Did I miss English class? Is this a Scrabble challenge? I think I gotta go. Even the units sound like they made it up that day, you know, like, this next unit's called guesstimate. Hee hee. All you gotta do is guess the answers, Paul. Yeah, sounds easy, but I got the quiz back and I failed. I was like, how did I fail? This is a guess. Oh, you didn't guess close enough, I guess. Mm-hmm. And this was the kicker. The next unit was called the Law of Diminishing Returns. This is how they actually explained it. They said, Paul, you know how you have one piece of cake, the second piece isn't as good? I said, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. You're eating the wrong cake.
Have a terrific Tuesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.